Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Midday Show, Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us, 215-592-9494. Weather report coming up at 12:30. Snow game Sunday and how that impacts things. And then at 1 o'clock, we'll look at this ref assignment. Are we saved or screwed this week by the refs coming in here against or for the Eagles and the Rams game? All right, 215-592-9494. Pass the game, is it a big deal? Hugh, this segment is sponsored by
Bud Light. Join Ava Graham at Maddie's Waterfront Cafe in Philly tomorrow night at 6 p.m. for a Bud Light Eagles pep rally. Win tickets to this weekend's game and some merch. Get some merch.
Some merch?
Yeah,
some always merch. Like some merch. I mean, we never, Hugh and I are never turned down free merch.
I like free stuff, man, especially free clothes, free merch, free hoodies, stuff
by the
like
way,
that.
Dave? Nick Spadaro was kidding when he said he's getting those Let's Hunt hoodies on
you know
Sunday.
What? Dave's a really stand-up guy. I would say he wasn't kidding, but there's a chance that Dave probably got busy.
Well, should we remind him like we're doing right now on the air?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. He'll like that. Yeah. He loves that. Loves to be put on Front Street.
Make sure we get those hoodies on Sunday. All right. Our Twitter question, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet. You learn about and schedule your evaluation, PIDentalCenter.com. The Eagles passing offense, big deal or not, an issue, not an issue. 55% living with their head in the sand, not an issue, Kyle. Only 45% think this issue is actually an issue.
I'm actually surprised that it's even...
close?
Yeah, well, I'm surprised at how many people were actually willing to vote that it was an issue. I expected it to be like 85% like, not an issue, they're winning. You still get the stray comments like, well, they're 15 wins this year. Awesome, man.
As if the teams don't... I mean, like, this is... The postseason is the best of the best, right? All these teams are good now.
Elite.
That's right. So they all are good at certain things. It's about winning a championship. How do we do it? I think we need to throw the football better. Let's go to the phone lines here, and then we'll let you hear from Jason Kelce what he said this morning on the morning show. Let's go to Tony in Fox Chase. Hey, Tony.
Hey, guys. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday, Tony. What's up, pal?
I'm looking at this next game as we don't need the offense to be dynamic, especially considering weather conditions. And when you factor in the defense, our number one defense, and what we've held opposing teams to in terms of scores, 13-7, with the exception of Washington, the last four games, our defense has held teams to under 21 points.
So they have. Well, the last two of the regular season don't really move me much, Tony. But yeah, I mean you're right. Your facts are. But the Giants and Cowboys game, I'm not gonna. I mean, who cares? The Packers game this past Sunday, that was impressive to hold them to 10. That for sure.
Oh, for sure. But you know what? I think it's being a little bit dismissive. An NFL team is an NFL team.
Giants aren't. I mean, I'm going to – they're below. They're below.
He's going to be dismissive, man. You can't – he's not moving off of this spot.
That's true. Joe's going to be Joe. But I'm optimistic. I'm not worried about this game. As far as Detroit, I think that after we win this game, and I hate to put the cart ahead of the horse, but after we win this game, Jalen has proven that he can pull that cart, that he can get it done. And our offensive line, as long as, like what Hugh said, as long as none of our guys get hurt in this next game, our offensive line and our defense, we should be fine. I'm very optimistic that we'll get the job done.
Well, I can hear that. And Tony, the way they've played so far and their defense, Hugh, and you've already put – I mean, I love that Hugh's already put out there 17's the bar next week against Detroit.
Well, I think it should be. I mean, because you're the best defense hands down in this game. Well, if we get to the game, I know we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves.
Oh, we are.
But you are the best defense, so I expect nothing less than that. And to that caller's point, even though, you know, you talk about the last couple of teams you played against, I'll even go back a little bit further. You haven't given up a whole lot of points to a whole lot of people this year.
Well, that's why they've been great defensively. Yeah,
and that's one of the reasons why I feel like, hey, keep that trend going. And just channeling my inner former defensive player, that's probably would be the mantra in the locker room. Hey, man, looking at the numbers, we've been pretty dominant all year long. So let's keep it going.
Well, and if they can, then great. I mean, then this is probably less of a worry than Kyle and I think it is. But if they can at some point and the defense lets up a little, they might have to throw the football and do it effectively. Let's hear from Jason Kelce this morning on The Morning Show. First, talking about the offense this past week, Jalen Hurts, what he saw. Let's listen to Kelce on the Eagles' offense.
The rust definitely plays a factor, but I don't think we ran block particularly well either. I know the run game was better, but I thought there was more to be had across the board offensively, to be honest with you. So I don't think it's fair to just put it on Jalen. I think that there was a number of things everyone could have done better. I think from a game plan standpoint, I'm sure the coaches feel that they could have done better. So I think that there's a lot of things that could have gone better offensively.
Well, I mean, Hugh, I agree with Jason that it wasn't all on Jalen. Like, we've gone back and forth all week. I mean, whether it be players, Rhea's photos that she took of the game, the screenshots. There's been a lot out there, Hugh, of how much was it actually Jalen? How much was the play calling? I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know the percentage breakdown, but I'd agree with him. It wasn't all Jalen that they didn't move the ball much on Sunday.
No, it wasn't. But, you know, he's been the one that who gets the most ire because he's the one that has the biggest, microscope on him. You know, people are looking to see what he's doing. And so that's why it's just weird and ironic how this week it's been a house divided amongst the pundits when it comes to Jalen. You know, you have the Dan Orlovsky's of the world that are saying, hey, guys weren't open. And then you have the Greg Cosell's of the world. It's like, they were open. You know, so it just all depends on what camp you're in when you believe or what you want to believe about Jalen. I think it's somewhere in the middle. I think it was a little bit of play calling. I think it was a little bit of Jalen. And that's just what it is. And I also believe that it's a little bit of the fact that there was a rust factor involved in this.
The other thing, and Jason just kind of mentioned it there. I don't know about you guys. Did you think the run game was spectacular on Sunday? It was good enough. Yeah, it was solid.
What are you comparing it against?
Well, the whole season.
Joe, you know what's funny?
Because before you go on, Saquon had 119 yards, right? So you're like, wow, that was a good game. I thought I would say he had four or five runs that probably went for between 15 and 20.
Mm-hmm.
And the other 20 runs I thought were very like
vanilla.
One, two, three,
and
four
yards.
And
I think
yards.
That's what Jason is talking about. But here's the thing, and this is the thing about the run, is that you have to look at the run in its totality. And what I mean by that is I remember playing in games where we would hold Jerome Bettis in the first half to like 30 yards. That second half, he run for like 120. It's one of those things where it wears on you. And as the game progresses, that's when it pays bigger dividends. And that's how it works when it comes to the running game. Saquon Barkley hasn't had too many games where he's rushed under 100 yards.
No, not many.
And in those games where he rushed over 100 yards, it's been tough sledding. But the bottom line is this. Anytime you run for over 100 yards in any game, no matter how you got it, that's a damn good day. And that's when as a defensive player, when the game was over against the Rams and when they played Minnesota, I went straight to the box score to see what their rushing yards were, what their rushing total was. They rushed for like a hair under 100 yards, like 91 yards. I think The running back,
Kyron Williams.
Kyron Williams had like 55 yards or something like that. You kind of look at it and you want to see where the distribution breakdown is. And his was like 55 yards. So I'm like, okay, they tried to get the run. In my mind, I'm thinking, okay, they tried to get the run with him. He didn't really get it done. Mm-hmm. And then I start looking at all the other contributors. So then I started to add it up. Okay, the total's over 100. So they really didn't, in my mind, they didn't run the ball well that day. So now you look at – my bad, Kyle. And then you look at the pass game. Okay, they want to throw the ball. So that's how you kind of look at it. And with Saquon, it might not look great in the beginning, But if you got one guy that got over 100-some yards, that's a damn good day.
It is. So here's why I brought it up. Because I'm trying to think, like, how did they go? They scored the touchdown on the first drive, right, the short field. And then they only scored 15 the rest of the game. And I think on Sunday, part of it was because the run game wasn't moving the ball down the field most of the game. It was just like, it was effective enough. But if you have a slow passing game or a slow moving passing game, and another team could do that to Saquon, they could have another quarter on Sunday or the next week where they don't score for a while.
Doesn't that kind of speak to the fact that the numbers don't always paint the full picture? Saquon had, what, you said 119 yards in the game? But we all knew by watching and using our brains...
They kind of had him under control.
...that it wasn't our best rushing performance of the season. So all the people who call in and say, well, you want to see Jalen Hurts throw for 300 yards? Like, we don't need a certain statistical benchmark. We know it when we see it, if it's good enough or if it can be better.
Like the Bengals game. Every year brought that up.
Right. No, I remember after that game, we were like, that's the best passing performance we've seen from Jalen
in a long
time. I
said it was 2022 Hurts.
Correct.
And he didn't have 40 passing attempts. It didn't need that. All right, let's hear one more from Kelsey. His thoughts on this game Sunday. Jason Kelsey this morning on the morning show on Eagles-Rams.
Problem that the Rams are going to have is I think if they're going to want to stop the run game, they're going to have to contribute another safety to the box. And if they do that, they're going to leave guys out on the outside exposed in one-on-one situations. So I think they're going to be in a lot of trouble in multiple ways. And they're a very good team. I just think our offensive line is much better than the Vikings is.
So, Hugh, he kind of echoes what you've been saying. The offensive line, this matchup, that's where they're in trouble, the Rams.
Yeah, because they're not matching up well. And if I know that, I don't care if I run the ball for 15 times in the first half and only get 30 yards. I'm still running the ball. Because they're not built for this. They're not built for two things, in my opinion. They're not built for this weather that's potentially coming, and they're not built for the physicality that the run brings to the table at this time of the year. You know, and I give them – they probably played off of adrenaline and momentum going into that game against Minnesota last week with everything, all the intangibles that were on the table in that game, you know, going into that. And they played with a lot of heart and a lot of passion. It's different this weekend, man. Because you're playing against a team that's physical. You got a 230-some pound running back there. You got 600 pounds across the board. 300, I'm being facetious when I say 300 pounds plus across the board when you talk about these offensive linemen. Why are we so worried about the passing game? That's the formula right there.
Because the next car note's coming.
This car note coming up, I got the money for that, and I paid the bill. That's all I'm worried about.
I know the weather's part of it, and we'll see what happens. And this Eagles defense has been great. The way it's gone all year has been a very specific formula. This works, and it worked on Sunday, Hugh, even though the run game, like we just said, wasn't dynamic. Because the Packers couldn't score. Right? Like, you just said it. You don't care if they run it 30 times, 15 times for 30 yards the first half. Keep running it. Hugh, I agree with you. As long as the Rams don't have many points on the board, right? If the Rams jump out and get 14, then we got to – the game plan might change a little bit. This whole thing works as long as the defense keeps dominating.
I don't – with – Puka Nacua is a good receiver. I give him his props. Who is it? Tyler Higbee got banged up. I don't know what the
– McVay said he's going to play.
He's going to play. Okay, he's a little banged up. Cooper Kupp isn't the guy that he used to be, right? This defensive secondary, Slay's healthy. Like, he's healthy enough. He gonna have his Hulk Hogan moment. You know, he gonna do his thing. Who's the tight end for the I can't think of his name right now.
Higbee.
The tight end.
You think about Puka?
Yeah, I'm thinking about Puka. I'm thinking about the receivers and Higbee. I don't see them. They're gonna come into this game, and they're gonna try to run the football. Because they have to. Because to come into this game with the weather being what it is, Joe, and try to throw the ball at a high volume is probably not going to work in your favor.
Probably.
You know what I mean? So you're going to try to run the football. So for you to get up 14 points on this defense, what you're going to have to do in order to do that, since we're thinking the same way, I don't think you're going to be able to do it. Because you're going to have to throw the football, and you don't want to do that. You don't want to sit back in a game where the wind might be blowing all crazy, the weather's going to be cold, and you want to sit back and throw it 60 times Because if I'm not mistaken, they had like 70 snaps or something like that in the game they just played.
They did. They were on the field a lot.
And probably like 40 of those were like passing plays or something. I don't know what the number was. But the bottom line is this. In order to win this game, you're going to have to try to match our intensity and our physicality. Because now I'm thinking, if we're running the ball at the clip that we've been running it at, now you're talking about possessions. I don't think that matchup favors you very well.
215-592-9495. Let's go to Derek at Paley. What's up, Derek?
What's going on,
Derek, buddy? What's up?
Let me park my truck real quick.
Okay.
So I'm gonna let y'all do the this ain't good enough and all that. This is all to say about Hurts, right? The Eagles paid him what they paid him, right? Because he showed them that he could, you know, make these throws, do this, do that. I just feel like the way that last year ended, right? And then the way this year started out, Hurts is smart. He hear what everybody be saying with the turnovers and this and that. Like, I just think he is overly cautious, right? He's overly cautious. So why do people say, like, he can't do this, he can't do that? He's already shown that he can do that. I just feel like he just became overly cautious. Remember when Brian Baldinger was on the show with Ike and Spike, right?
Oh, yeah, right after the Green Bay game.
Yeah, him and Ike was going at it because Baldy was like, bro, like, that wasn't a bad throw. If A.J. don't fall down, this is what happens. Mm-hmm. Da, 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 da. Like, so that's where I'm at with it. Like, I know he can make these throws. I know he's better than what he's showing and this, that, and the third. But he kind of got to get out of his own head because if people are open and this and that. But if him being in his own head that's a bigger issue. So the Eagles will have to figure out next year if Jalen is fixable. Because remember when him and Sirianni was having beef when the season was ready to start up and all that?
Yep.
Like it could have been beef because they're trying to convince him that we don't need you to do this, that, and the third. And he might have been in his feelings about that. And then now he's convinced that what they were telling him is right and stuff like that. I just think it's a lot of factors that goes into.
I think you're right,
what
Derek.
We're seeing from
Derek,
Hurts right now.
I think it's a good
him
point.
Just not having the ability to do it. You understand what I'm saying?
So I totally agree. I don't think this is an inability thing. I think it's just not happening. Like it's just and Derek, that's yeah. a it's a
remember
good.
Remember the Seattle game? Seattle, man, you was going back and forth.
Oh, of course, the interception saying, at the end. Yeah,
that was me and AJ because he had that faith in AJ. I'm gonna throw it up, right? But A.J. ain't going to get no criticism if the ball get picked off. You know what I'm saying? So Jalen Hurts right now, I feel like he's just playing not to lose. He wants to win, but he don't want to get all this smoke that could come his way if he starts putting the ball in harm's way. And, like, when A.J. slipped in the end zone and all that.
Yeah. There's a line. I mean, Derek.
Nobody talks about that. You know what
there's
I mean?
A line.
It's hard being a quarterback, man, especially when that money like that. You know what I'm saying?
Of course. So, I think there's a fine line.
The passing game do got to be better. So anybody that calls in and says, like, you know, it don't have to, I feel like eventually he going to have to show something.
Exactly.
But they won a lot of games playing this way.
Well, they won 15, Derek. I mean, they've been incredible doing it. Derek, we appreciate the call. Hugh, I do wonder if they've crossed the line too much, right? Like the first 4 weeks of the season, Jalen was reckless, right? We could call it that. He almost threw four picks against the Packers. He had the pick in the end zone against the Saints. And then something changed, right? At the bye, him and Sirianni spoke.
That's super conservative.
Super conservative. And then you hear AJ, we played the cut at the beginning of our show, saying, I was open on Sunday. You hear James Jones talking about how the other guys throw these guys open. Hugh, I wonder if Jalen has gone too far to the other side of, I'm not going to put the ball in harm's way. And that's working, but like, on Sunday or next Sunday, if he's got a guy that's slightly covered, is he going to let it rip, or are we just going to say, we'll get him next drive? I do wonder that.
You know what? I hear what you're asking, Joe, but I'm going to answer it the best way that I possibly can because I think this is a fluid situation when you talk about what you're talking about. I think Jalen's going to do what the situation presents, to be honest, because to your point, and I know Kyle is stuck on the – you know, I did what I had to do to win the game thing and, you know, going 9 minutes without scoring, that's not what normal people do. But I feel like most of that was because of maybe just the timing. And I put a lot on that because
the concussion last week?
Yeah, because to me, this kind of played out like I thought it would. It really, really did.
Nostradamus Douglas.
No, and
here.
It did, because we talked about it, because when you asked me the week before they played Green Bay, you said, do you expect? No, not a lot. I don't expect a whole lot. And he did exactly that, but he did do what I expected him to do. He won the game. And I feel like the matchup, either matchup, if it was them, L.A. or Minnesota, favored what we could do in this game to help us win. I always felt that way. So it hasn't changed for me.
So to go back to the comp I made earlier with the Phillies last year, remember last year in the beginning of the season, the Phillies were trying not to chase as much? Remember?
Yeah.
And Castellanos in particular felt he was caught in between. Like he was like losing his aggressiveness because he was trying so hard not to swing at bad pitches. And he was like, that balance was difficult for him. I do wonder if with Jalen, because you mentioned it, last year he would throw to AJ in triple coverage, right? He would give his guys a shot.
Yeah.
And now we've gone so far the other way. I mean, it's very rare he even throws a ball that is almost intercepted, right?
And think about it like this. There was a stretch at the beginning of the season. AJ three picks, wasn't in
Brazil.
Brazil.
Yeah, well, he had two, but it was almost four. Yeah,
it was like two in Brazil. Then he had, a couple the next week, and then it was a week after that. Then it became a story, and then all of a sudden it just went away. I mean, yeah. I mean, and you're still winning. So if I'm AJ and the formula is working, why change it?
Just go read a book on the sidelines.
Just do that. And it's for the benefit of everybody. And to get to AJ, the fact that he's not doing what he's used to doing, man, listen, at the end of the day, you win the Super Bowl, you hoist that Lombardi trophy, all that animosity.
I knew what you meant.
You know, somebody might not have meant all that Anna.
I think someone named
had,
Anna.
Yeah. That you had during the course of the season. Oh, that's going to wash away when that green and black or green and white confetti drop in your hair and you're a champion.
Bye-bye,
it don't
Anna.
Matter. It don't. Bye-bye, Anna. Let that Anna go, man. And win these games. Sometimes the sacrifice is greater than what you want to give, but you gotta sacrifice.
215-592-9494. All right, coming up, we'll get to some interesting numbers. We've talked about the snow a little bit today. All right, we'll give you the updated forecast. And Matthew Stafford, how does he play in bad weather? He's played a lot of dome games in his career in Detroit, now Los Angeles, played college at Georgia. How does Stafford play in the snow? We'll talk about that, plus your phone calls. And apparently, we have to settle beef with a coworker here at WIP. Someone took exception to one of Hugh's tweets yesterday.
Oh!
Uh-oh. All right, well, we'll get to that next. It's the Midday Show right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.